Some of them. First of all, in 2 Corinthians and chapter 6, please. If you haven't got a Bible with you, don't worry. Just listen to what the Word of God has to say to us. But 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. And first of all, just part of a verse. Just the very first phrase in that verse I just want to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. And the first clause of that verse says, as unknown and yet well known. As unknown and yet well known. Just back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. And verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. It's the last part of the verse I want to think about. In Christ shall all be made alive. In Christ shall all be made alive. Just back to John chapter 15, please. John and chapter 15. And verse 13, John chapter 15, and verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And finally, 2 Timothy and chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy and chapter 2. Verse 19, and just the statement right in the middle of that verse, of verse 19, it says this: the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, hopefully the reason I've read those four statements will become clear in a few minutes' time. I want to take you this evening, just for a few minutes, I want you to come with me, first of all, to London. And then I want you to come with me to a building called Westminster Abbey. If you were to go through one of the main entrances to Westminster Abbey, one of the things you will be met with, set into the ground, is the tomb to the unknown warrior. That tomb that is set into the ground represents all the soldiers that died in the First World War. As an army in this country, we know that we lost just over 888,000 soldiers in the First World War. And that soldier that's buried in that tomb represents all the soldiers that died in the First World War. We couldn't repatriate 888,000, it was not possible. But there was a soldier who was walking across a garden in France, and he came across a rough grave. At the top of that grave, somebody had put a little wooden cross, and etched onto that cross, it simply said, an unknown British soldier. And from that moment on, he had an idea. What if we just bring one soldier back to this country to represent all the soldiers that died in the First World War? And so the idea was born. But we could ask the question, well, who's buried in there and why? Well, we know it's to represent all the soldiers that died. But to decide how that soldier was chosen, they took four soldiers from the four main battlefields of the First World War, going to great lengths to make sure that nobody knew who they were. We don't know their name. We don't know their rank. We don't know their regiment. We don't know those soldiers, whether they served in the army, the navy, or the air force. Completely unknown. But those four soldiers taken in their coffins, then draped in our flag, were then put into a chapel room. One of our senior officers went into that room one night, and he paced up and down in front of those four bodies. As he paced up and down in front of those four bodies, he then all of a sudden, very randomly, suddenly, he turned and he touched one of the bodies. That was the soldier to come back. The other three were reburied. This one soldier was brought back to this country, first of all, to Dover. Then from Dover, taken to Victoria Station in London by train. From Victoria Station, that body was then put onto a carriage and taken through the streets of London on that carriage drawn by six immaculate black horses. Thousands of people turned out to pay their respects. The coffin was followed by members of government, members of the royal family, and he was brought to Westminster Abbey on the 11th of November 1920. When that body was put in position, where it still is today, not only was that body put in there, but 100 bags of earth taken from the four main battlegrounds of the First World War. And there that body was put on the 11th of November 1920. Now, when that happened, on one side, there were 100 men who, during the First World War, had been awarded the Victoria Cross. They were specifically asked to be there to stand as guard of honour for the tomb to the unknown warrior. On the other side of those 100 men were 100 women. They had also been specifically invited to be there that day to stand as guard of honour for the tomb to the unknown warrior. And those women had been specifically invited because during the First World War, each and every one of those women had lost at least their husband and one son. Some of those women who stood in that line that day had lost their husband and two sons in the war. Actually, there were some women who stood in that line who had lost their husband and three sons in the war. And they were standing as guard of honour for the tomb of the unknown warrior. As that body was put in place, it's estimated that in the first week after that body had been put in place, over 1 million people walked past to pay their respects, the numbers of which have never been seen since, not even for the Queen. But you can just imagine it as the women stopped and looked and pointed at that tomb. Each and every one of those women, without exception, could have said, "That could be my husband in there." And they were all right, because it's the tomb of the unknown warrior. The children that walked past, they could have stopped and looked and pointed and said, "That could be my dad in there. That could be my brother in there. That could be my grandfather in there." And they were all right. It's the tomb of the unknown warrior. That tomb today is still the most visited grave in the world. And historically, over the years, when any member of the royal family marries in Westminster Abbey, the bride's flowers are always taken at the end of the wedding and placed at the tomb of the unknown warrior. The reason I read those four verses to you, or statements from those verses, is apart from, if you were to view that tomb today as you go into Westminster Abbey, you can't avoid it, you have to walk round it, no one's allowed to walk on it, not even the royal family. But if you were to view the tomb of the unknown warrior, there is a great big inscription down the centre of that tomb, which tells you exactly what it is, and a little bit about that soldier. But also there are some words around each of the four edges of that tomb. And we have read them today because they are four statements from the Bible. The first one down the right-hand side as you look at the tomb says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, "Unknown and yet well known." Four verses from the Bible around the tomb of the unknown warrior. And as we look at that verse and think of that statement in relation to that soldier, we could say, well, I understand that, or certainly part of it, unknown. But the Bible then goes on to say, and yet well known. What does that mean? Well, as we look at that tomb, we can say, well, certainly that soldier is unknown. So what does the Bible mean when it goes on to say, and yet well known? But the wonderful thing about it is that as we look at that tomb, we can say that soldier is completely unknown, and it's right. Nobody knows who he is. But when the Bible goes on to say, and yet well known, what it means is that soldier is completely known to God. God knows who he is. God knows what he has done for this country. You know, I thought that statement is so true, not only of that soldier, but of you and me. As far as this great big world in which we live in is concerned, you and I are generally unknown. But the wonderful thing of the message of the Bible is this, that you and I are well known. How so? We're well known because God knows all about you. God knows each and every one of us, and God sent his son to die for us. God knows each and every one of us in the tent today. He knows what you think about him. He knows what you think about the Bible. And he loves us, the Bible tells us, so much that he was prepared to send his only son into this world. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And the Bible tells us that the Father, God in heaven, sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So we might be generally unknown, but how wonderful that I can tell you from the Bible that you are well known, because God loves you. And God sent his only Son into this world to die for you. He saw the need of this world. He saw the sin of this world. And he sent his only Son into this world so that he might go to a cross at Calvary. And while upon that cross, all the sin of the world, your sin, my sin, the things that we do wrong, the things that we think wrong, all of our sin was heaped upon the very man who had never done a sin. And he took the punishment that we deserved while upon that cross, as they drove nails through his hands and his feet, a crown of thorns upon his head, a spear into his side. The pain, the anguish, the deep suffering the Lord Jesus Christ went through was because of his great love for you. And he was prepared to lay down his life upon that cross so that you and I today, if we come to him and put our faith and trust in him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we can be saved. Saved from sin, saved from to a lost eternity in hell, and we can know that we're on our way to heaven to have everlasting life. Another verse around the edge. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. How true of that? We might say, well, many soldiers put their life on the line. Many soldiers lost their life. But when the moment came, they didn't have a choice about it. How different from the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, born in a manger at Bethlehem. The tremendous thing is, when the Lord Jesus Christ was laid in that manger at Bethlehem, he knew exactly why he was here. And he knew exactly the day he would be taken to a cross at Calvary. He knew exactly the pain and the suffering that would be his. And he still came. How wonderful. And we might ask why. Why would he still come if he knew about it all? Not one of us knows when we're going to die. But the Bible tells us the Lord Jesus Christ knew. He knew all things. And he came into this world willingly. And he willingly went to a cross. And while he was upon that cross, he was in total control and full control. People looking from a distance at the cross might have said, the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he deserves to be there. He had never done a sin. Not a single sin. In fact, there were thieves either side of the Lord Jesus Christ there that day. And one of them said, we're here because we deserve to be here. But he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ on the center cross. He said, but this man, he's not done one thing wrong. He's done nothing amiss, not one single thing wrong. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to go to that cross because he loves you and because he loves me. And to lay down his life. He knew about it all, and he still came, and he still went to the cross. And he, in full control, bowed his head and died, taking the punishment for our sin, so that we today, in 2026, can come to him, trust him, put our faith in him. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Just very briefly, he said, another verse that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in Christ shall all be made alive. Those of us that are in Christ, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, will be made alive. How wonderful! The Lord Jesus Christ died, but was buried. The Bible tells us on the third day he rose again. I tell you, what a tragic thing it would be if we were here just speaking about a Saviour who died, and that was the end. He was left on the cross, and that was the end. But how tremendous, the Bible tells us that men came and took him down from that cross. He told us that he would die. He told us that he would be buried. He told us, the Bible tells us, that he would rise again the third day. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He died, he was buried, he rose again. And so, the last verse I just want to mention before I finish and hand over to Dan. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says this: the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. You see, we've already seen tonight that the Lord knows each and every one of us. He knows all about us. He knows about the sin of the world. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ came, to provide a way for us to have our sins forgiven. He's done all the work for us. He's provided a way. You see, to get to heaven, we cannot rely upon our own work. It's nothing of self. We need to realize it's all of what of him and what he has done. We can't work our way to heaven. We don't deserve it. He came. He did all the work for us. He laid down his life. And we need to realize, we need to repent of our sin, turn from our sin, and turn to the cross, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us, the one who was buried and rose again. And this is why he came, to provide a way of escape. You know, it would be true, as we look down through the ages and look back to the First World War that we have spoken about, this statement would be true, that thousands have died for our freedom. But what a tremendous thing that one has died for your soul. What a wonderful thing. One, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world, came into the world to suffer and bleed and die for you and for me. His love was so great, he was prepared to come. The tomb of the unknown warrior. How wonderful. The Bible says unknown and yet well known. Dear friend tonight, you might think you're unknown. I tell you, we have a God who knows all about you. We have a God who loves you more than anybody else. We have a God who cares and is compassionate for you and was prepared to send his only son to die for you upon a cross. And simply is asking you to come to him and put your faith and trust in him. You know, there's a hymn writer who said these words: there was one who was willing to die in our stead, that a soul so unworthy might live, and the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. He was nailed to the cross. He was nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, and my sins were all laid on him there.